a book review of the book Spiritual Evolution, A Scientific Defense of Faith. The author, George E. Vaillant, V-A-I-L-L-A-N-T. He is a doctor, M.D. The publishing house is Random, New York, the year 2008. An excerpt from the jacket. In our current era of holy terror, passionate faith has come to seem like a present danger. Writers such as Richard Dawkins, Sam Harris, and Christopher Hitchens have been happy to throw the baby out with the bathwater and declare that the danger is in religion itself. God, Hitchens writes, is not so great. But man, according to George E. Vaillant, is great. In Spiritual Evolution, Dr. Vaillant lays out a brilliant defense not of organized religion, but of man's inherent spirituality. Our spirituality, he shows, resides in our uniquely human brain design and in our innate capacity for emotions like love, hope, joy, forgiveness, and compassion, which are selected for by evolution and located in a different part of the brain than dogmatic religious belief. Evolution has made us spiritual creatures over time, he argues, and we are destined to become even more so. Dr. Vaillant makes the scientific case for spirituality as a positive force in human evolution, and he predicts for our species an even more loving future. The book Spiritual Evolution restores our belief in faith as an essential human striving. And now we go to an excerpt in the book itself. The excerpt is on the meaning of joy, and as we will see, Dr. Vaillant feels that there is a certain emotion within us called joy, and it's part of our makeup of the brain. Joy is not only different from happiness, joy is different from pleasure. The effect of joy is very different from the pleasure of sex. Joy goes beyond, far beyond, Freud's pleasure principle. Freud had confidently maintained that the purpose of human lives, as evidenced by their behavior, can hardly be in doubt. They strive after happiness. This endeavor has two sides, a positive and a negative aim. It aims, on the one hand, at an absence of pain, displeasure, and on the other, at the experience of strong feelings of pleasure. What did Freud know? The long-term truth of the matter was that Freud's moments of pleasure from chain smoking cigars brought him years of cancer-induced lingering pain. Yet, by emphatically sharing the pain of his patients, Freud found a source of contentment and quite possibly joy until he died. He just didn't write about it. In myth, but not in reality, psychoanalysts were not supposed to feel love for their patients or joy when the patients returned to the counseling room. Now, Vaillant goes on to say, consider the facial dance of joy that goes on between a smiling infant and the infant's mother returning the smile. First, social smiling, then peekaboo, separation and reunion. Satiation does not occur. Pleasure, like a three-course meal, usually reflects drive reduction. Here is what he's saying, is that once we have pleasure, it tends to then wane afterwards. It doesn't keep going. We're not driven to keep getting it once we've been satiated. Once pleasure is achieved, we become sated. In contrast, joy, unlike coitus, does not have a refractory period, in other words, a drawdown. After all, a just-fed, clean-diapered, and well-slept infant can smile at her mother with a contagious joy. And that smile can make the mother smile and feel joy in return. The The human smiling response is hardwired. Connection, reunion, community, and joy. Joy is how selfish genes unselfishly share. It's win-win all the way around. Belant then goes on to say, by lumping three positive emotions, contentment, excitement, and joy together as pleasure, Freud obscured our ability to build a satisfactory theory of effects. In a letter to Freud, the novelist Romain Rolland suggested that the oceanic feeling associated with joy, not a cognitive belief in God, was the true source of religion. Freud responded that he could not discover any such oceanic feeling in himself and could not convince himself of the primary nature of such a feeling. The underlying tone of Freud's discussion of religious experience is to dismiss it as some kind of regressive aberration. If Freud could not acknowledge joy, no wonder he was such a pessimist. But there's an irony in this. If Freud's name in German, Freude, means joy. And so there we have it, the idea of joy, and it's in our genes, and that it is continually evolving. And the question we then raise is, if it's in our genes and continually evolving, from where does it come originally? And that gets us back to the idea of God. And by the way, when we look at St. Thomas's treatise on love, he has various qualities of love: peace, forgiveness, and joy. These are all part of the way he sees love. And now we move on to the table of contents. Table 1, or page 1, or chapter 1, positive emotions. Chapter 2, the prose and the passion. 3 evolutions. 4, faith. 5, love. 6, hope. 7, joy. 8, forgiveness. 9, compassion. 10, awe and mystical illumination. And 11, the difference between religion and spirituality. This is a book written by a doctor, and he's coming at it as a doctor would, through physiology, and especially the physiology of the brain and all of the connections that we have there, the hard wiring, as he calls it. And he makes a very good argument that within us, we are sort of hardwired for joy. And again, we raise the question, who hardwired us in the beginning? And why is joy a part of love? Happy reading. The end.